Okay, so I'm going to try to tell you a story about life, our life, how we go through life exposed to several insults or exposures or situations, and how that may predict our mortality. So please pay keen attention. Maybe we will find some things that we can do to prevent premature mortality. I have no relationships to disclose. So several studies have Several studies have reported that inflammation may be underlying the different pathologies like cardiovascular disease, cancer, etc. We know we get sick and then we die, right? Now, if we are born here and die here, what happens throughout life that makes us sick and die earlier than other people? So Dr. Pachucki told us that maybe our parents were obese, overweight, maybe the father was, the mother was not. Maybe my sister was obese, and you know, I had four sisters. Two are a little overweight, two are not. We're also exposed to environmental factors. We could call nutrition an environmental factor. Do we live in a place with low access to healthy foods? Were our mothers, did our mothers have a gestational diabetes, as Dr. Ehrlich was saying? You know, as we grow up, we may try smoking. We have our first sexual relationship. Some people get infections. Remember those sinusitis, those allergies, those colds that we got from, you know, throughout life. There's evidence that some inflammatory cells create memory. And then, you know, as we grow older, our immune responses may falter. And sometimes we end up either not fighting disease or getting autoimmune disease where inflammation attacks our bodies. So is it possible to tease apart this complex, intricate web of causality? On the other hand, there are some other studies. For several years, studies have reported that there is a differential mortality in terms of social status, education, occupation, and all the psychosocial theory stating that when we are exposed to heartbreak, poverty, economic turmoil, or restrictions, this stress may lead to dysfunction or disruption of the hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal axis, leading us to produce more noradrenaline, then hypertension ensues, atherosclerosis, and then you die. We die. Okay, so this is in a way of introduction, the story that I want to tell you today. And the objective was, or is, to assess the role of these different biomarkers of lipid metabolism, inflammation, glucose metabolism, as well as sociodemographic characteristics such as education, income, marital status. We know that women live longer. We know that married couples live longer. Also, as environmental factors, I'm going to use body mass index. Remember those studies stating that if our waist circumference is larger than X amount, we are going to die earlier. So what other, I would like you to think about what other situations we have gone through life that may predict our demise. So the hypothesis is that some of these markers, leptin, hemoglobin, glycated hemoglobin, C-reactive protein, triglycerides, and insulin levels, all of these biomarkers of inflammation and metabolism, encompass a metabolic framework of overall and disease-specific mortality, but also we are going to hold constant the effects of disease and socio-demographic and environmental factors, namely smoking and BMI. So what I'm going to tell you now refers to the whole U.S. population. It's data from the National Health and Nutrition Survey, Examination Survey. This is a survey that is conducted by the National Center of Health Statistics every two years or so. These data were collected in from 1888 through 1994, during 6 years. Over 30,000 people were interviewed. They came to a medical examination center. They were randomized to give blood either in the morning or in the evening or afternoon. And these data were linked to the National Death Index to see which of those people died and from what. We ended up with 6,700 people with available data, 17 years or older. The follow-up time is between 12 and 18 years. To assess the outcome data, cardiovascular disease, cancer, and overall mortality, the National Center for Health Statistics uses international classification of disease 9 and 10. To analyze the data, we used Kaplan-Meier curves to see, you know, if some people die earlier than others by characteristics, by given characteristics, as well as Cox proportional hazards, which is a method to get basically the risk of dying given some exposures. Since this survey is uses cluster sampling, multi-stage stratification, and weights, to account for the variance, the effect on variance due to this non or probabilistic sampling, we use the SVY module in STATA version 12. So people come to this center, they answer a questionnaire on sociodemographic data, race, ethnicity, age, gender, education, income, marital status, and several other variables. The biomarkers are measured. These are the ones that I'm using, or we are using in this analysis, including uric acid also. And medical conditions are self-reported: cancer, non-skin related, congestive heart disease, etc. The environmental variables that we used are smoking and weight status. So there were 1,800 overall deaths, 460 cancer deaths, not included here, and 857 cardiovascular deaths. The median follow-up time was 14 years. This is the description of the U.S. population. I just want to show you that what we should look at here is that the proportions or estimates are representative of the U.S. population. We know that there are more women than men in the U.S., and this, you know, this slightly off race is quite representative of the U.S. Distribution. Ever told about a heart? Have you ever had a heart attack? It was 2.1%. Stroke 1.8. Diabetes 4.7. Have you smoked over 100 cigarettes in your lifetime? 53% of people reported having done so. Body mass index, we see that over 50% of the population was using BMI, overweight or obese. And these are the values for the biomarkers. The survival analysis curves show us that as glycated hemoglobin levels increase, mortality increases. So these people are dying more rapidly than these with lower levels. Same thing for C-reactive protein. The story that the unadjusted regression tells us is that, I don't want you to look at the specific numbers, but inflammatory biomarkers for overall mortality were significantly associated to mortality. Some of these also were associated to cancer mortality, and a few of these were associated with cardiovascular mortality. Consistently, glycated hemoglobin was associated, as well as C-reactive protein. There is a problem here with a lot of collinearity between these values, so sometimes the models become unstable. But BMI, also overweight and obesity, were associated with cardiovascular and overall mortality, smoking across the board. And let me jump to the multivariate analysis, where we, instead of doing one-to-one variables, we do the whole model, trying to tell the story of the conceptual framework, where we see that the C-reactive protein was associated with overall mortality, not with the others, as well as glycated hemoglobin, which was associated with overall and CVD mortality. So inflammation seems to be a common factor for mortality. But also you will see that there's some other variables like poverty that were associated with overall in cancer mortality. As conclusions, we have that these inflammatory markers were indeed associated with mortality, but there's also something else, psychosocial, related to psychosocial stress. You know, you're stressed out, you don't sleep, you have economic problems. There's something else going on that is not mediated through inflammation that leads to earlier disease. And you will see papers publishing either one, but not the whole picture. I think this is one of our advantages. And there's some biases. You saw there were some missing data. We did not, or NHANES did not measure the biomarkers several times throughout the follow-up period, which is very difficult. And there's maybe some residual confounding, as Dr. Ehrlich was saying. We did not measure nutrition and physical activity. We used BMI as a proxy of that. In summary, interventions targeting control of biomarkers, as several studies are recommending, may not be sufficient to address this mortality excess if social factors are not also addressed. And we hope our findings serve to inform current guidelines to address premature mortality in the U.S. Thank you. Okay.